All right, folks. Are there things that you know you should be doing that you're not doing? Are there things you know you should be doing that you're not doing?
Yes.
All right. How many of you have not been to the dentist in 6 months? No, now don't raise your hands like you're proud of that. That's not something to be proud of. You need to go to the dentist. That's one of the things you need to do because it can get much worse. It can be much worse if you don't take care of that. How many of you know the right kind of things you should be eating and you're cheating? Oh, now don't raise your hands. I didn't ask you to do that. Everybody raise your hand. We know certain things we should eat to keep us healthy. What about the whole cholesterol thing? Man, that's important. You know you should be doing it. All right, how many of you are regularly exercising like you know you're supposed to be doing? Very good, a couple of you. All right. You know you're supposed to be doing that. These are things you're supposed to do to be healthy, to live life to the fullest. All right, what about as a Christian? Are there things that you are aware of in your life that you need to be doing that you're not doing? Don't raise your hands. The time of personal corporate confession is over. All right, now it's a personal thing. Are there things you should be doing in your walk with God? And you know, well, maybe they're not the highest priority in my life. I think that's something that we all struggle with at times. We do. Oh, goodness. Today we're going to look at a group of people that knew they were out of step with God. They knew that, and so God raised up a prophet to give them a message. He gave them that message, and they turned and they started doing the thing they know they were supposed to do. In their case, it was to build God's temple. And you know what? They began building God's temple. And they ran into another little problem, which we looked at last week. You see, there were people that saw the first temple and saw the current temple and said, this current temple is nothing compared to the first temple. And they were comparing, and they were causing all kinds of problems. So they got through that. They stopped comparing. God said, build this temple. I'm in it. It's important. But then they've been working for another couple of months, and they're saying, why isn't God blessing us? And maybe you've wondered that. You know what? I believe I'm doing the things that God wants me to do, but yet I don't feel any blessing in my life. We're going to look at that group of people this morning, and we're going to learn an amazing truth. These were God's people. They wanted to follow Him. They wanted to serve Him. And yet they were overlooking something in their lives. And that's something we tend to overlook too. Sometimes we tend to move it into a little corner and try and deny it's there. Sometimes we just block it out completely. So we're going to be looking today at a group of people with something that the prophet Haggai had to bring to their attention. And as we look at that, we're going to learn some key things in our walk with God. We're in a series, and this series is entitled God Wants You. He does. He wants you. Today we're going to be looking at this specific group of people and asking the question, are you overlooking something? They were overlooking something. And God is going to use two questions in these 9 verses that we're going to look at, two questions to help raise their awareness of what they are overlooking. We're going to be in Haggai chapter 2, verses 10 through 19. If you can find Haggai, you're doing good. Go to Matthew and back up 2 books. How's that? Matthew, and then you go what? Malachi, Zechariah, and then Haggai, if I'm correct. But it's on page 668. If you've got a blue Bible in front of you, you can go right there, and you can impress everybody around you that you can find the book of Haggai, because that's not an easy one to find. So far, we've been looking at this group of people. They began with a vision to go and to build God's temple. They traveled 1,100 miles back. They started building the temple, and then all of a sudden it stopped. The problem is it stopped because of economic problems, persecution, things like that. But what happened is for 14 years, nothing was done on this temple. And after 14 years, God sent a messenger by the name of Haggai. And he said, you need to tell my people a message from me. And we've been looking at that. And basically, he's going to give four messages. Today, we're looking at message number three. All right. They've been working for 3 months. And now they're asking the question, why isn't God blessing us? And so in chapter 2, verse 10, the third message comes to Haggai and he's going to deliver it for them. It says this in verse 10, on the 24th day of the ninth month. So they've been working now for a couple of months. In the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai. All right, he makes sure that this is God's word. This is not my idea, people. This is God's word coming to me as your prophet, Haggai. He's going to answer why there is no blessing in their lives, and he's going to use questions to do this. All right, verse 11. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Folks, go ask the priest what the law says. He says, all right, you people go to the spiritual leaders of the nation. Go ask them a couple of questions here. And why we're having problems, and they will be able to tell you these things. Now, I can tell you already, let me set this up. By the time you get down to verse 14, the people are bringing sacrifices in that day and in that time to pay for their sins. They would bring sacrifices. And I've told you before, I'm so glad that we don't have to do that today because I probably couldn't handle it with all the sacrifices and animals and everything. But that's God's plan at that time. They're bringing their sacrifices, but I can tell you this, their sacrifices are not acceptable to God because they've got what is called a heart problem. And we're going to see that as we go through that. So I've kind of already told you what's happening, but let's back up. All right, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Ask the priest what the law says. All right, so we're going to ask some question here that's probably not going to make a lot of sense to us, but to a listener of that day it would. If a person carries consecrated meat in the fold of his garment, and that fold touches some bread, stew, wine, oil, or other food, does it become consecrated? And the priest answered, well, that's easy. No, it doesn't. All right, so what would happen is they would offer these sacrifices, but they could keep the good meat. And in fact, that's how the priest ate. When these sacrifices were offered, meat was put into boiling vats, and they could go in with a prong and stab, and whatever they could take with them. Now, other people could do that too. They could sell the meat. And so what would happen is if they would carry the meat in the fold of their garment and go and take it home and eat it. And so it's kind of an interesting question. It makes really no sense to us today, but to them, they could understand it. Can a clean offering touch something and make it clean, is the question. Can a clean offering touch something and make it clean, is what the question is being answered for us today. And they said, no. A clean offering cannot touch something and make it clean. And we're thinking today, okay, what do you do with that? Let me talk to you about dirty laundry. All right. Can clean clothes make a pile of dirty clothes clean? When I do my laundry, I'm going to air my dirty laundry here. If I had dirty laundry down there and I took clean laundry and put it on top of it, would it make it clean? All right. Now you're living in the 21st century. It's not going to make that pile of clothes clean. What do you have to do? You have to wash the whole thing. You have to wash them. The point, these questions are interesting. I'll get to the point, and there's an important point here, but I wanted to go through these. Holiness cannot be transferred is the idea here for them. All right, verse 13 says this. Then Haggai said, here's another question. If a person defiled by contact with a dead body touches one of these things, does it become defiled? Yes, the priest replied, it becomes defiled. All right. So for them, in that day, in that time, you didn't want to touch a dead body because you became unclean when you did that. And the point being is, if somebody touched a dead body, they became unclean. And so the thought here is that moral uncleanliness can be transferred. Moral uncleanliness can be transferred. If I had a beaker of water and I had it right here and I poured in dirty water, what would happen to all the water? It would all be dirty. That is the point, using an illustration that's a little closer to where we live today. The point being that moral uncleanliness can be transferred. Now, you say, what in the world's going on? All right, the reason he's doing this is he's using two questions to make a point, and the point is in verse 14. It says this, then Haggai said, so it is with, what's that word? This people. Remember, he's used that terminology. When it's this people, he is not happy. And this nation in my sight, declares the Lord. Whatever they do and whatever they offer there is what? Defiled. He makes it very clear. Haggai said, this people, and he's referring to God's people at this time, they are defiled. They are unclean. They are not in a right relationship with God, is the point that he is making. Now, see, these people knew what they were supposed to do. And in fact, they were doing it. They were supposed to come back and build the temple. And so they came back and they started to rebuild the temple. They were actually doing the thing they were supposed to do. But God said, not good enough. And he uses two questions to draw out something that's very important. What's very important here is they were going through the motions. They were doing the right things. But God says, I know the heart. And folks, your heart is far from me. Not even close to me. And so he has these two questions that he uses to point out this truth. And it's an amazing truth. The problem is, it lives with us today. We struggle with these same things. All right, so on your outline, what are you overlooking? And the first statement there, what could it be? What could it be? God, I'm doing all the things you asked me to do. What could it be? I'm going to suggest this based on this passage. It is a sin problem. It is a sin problem. They're doing the right things, but their hearts are so far from God, they're not even close to Him. They're showing up. They're bringing their sacrifices. They're twiddling their thumbs. They're saying, do I really have to do this? Do I really have to go through all this process? Oh yeah, I'll wear a smile on my face. I'll look good. Now, does that ever happen in churches? Yes, it does. What could it be? It's a sin problem. Let me ask you something, and I'm not asking anybody directly, and nobody raised their hand. Are you here because you really want to be here? Are you just going through the routine? Are you just doing the things that you think will please God? When God knows your heart, God knows the core of the issue. You're not fooling Him at all. You might as well not even be here. If you're just here to do the thing, just to walk through the motions, God knows better than that. And this passage tells us that, helps us to understand that. It's a sin problem. Why is God not blessing them? Oh, they're doing the right outward things, but their hearts are miles away from God. They're not even close. And he has to point this out. He has to point out to them the fact that they're just going through the motions. How often do you go to church and just go through the motions? You know, it is tough because there are some times that I just go to church and I go through the motions and I'm the one standing up here in front of you and teaching. I go through the motions sometimes. Is that right? No. You see, folks, I have a sin problem too. And I have to deal with it, just as you have to deal with yours. Problem is, it's tough because I'm up here in front of you all. But I'll be honest with you. I struggle certain Sundays just going through the motions, doing the right things. Are our hearts for God? Are they close to Him? Stop doing rituals. God knows your heart. Come with a right heart. On your outline, let me say it this way. This is for the 21st century. Stop playing church. Come on. God knows that. God knows what's going on. You're coming here for your spouse, or you're coming here for your parents or whatnot. Come here for the right reasons. Stop playing church. This fall, we've got a lot of neat things about to happen. I'm excited about them. But one of the things I want us to see together is we need to get serious about God. We need to get serious with Him in our walk. There's just not enough time. There are so many important things we need to be doing. And so for the last 6 months, the leadership of this church, we have been praying and we have been seeking counsel and we've been looking step by step. And you see over in front of you there a banner. What we're going to be doing over the next couple of weeks is there are five key purposes to the church. The first one is worship. And what I'm going to do over the next weeks is every week there's going to be a different banner up there that talks about the purpose of the church. The reality is in the purpose of the church, because we are the church, we need to be practicing these things and doing these things. In a couple of weeks, we're going to start 40 days. We did 40 days 3 years ago. And within this 40-day period of time, you have an opportunity to go to a new level with God. And you need to take that opportunity. You need to get off the plateau that you're on, wherever it is, and move on up. Not to the east side, but move on up with God. Just a few of you got that. The front row up here did not get that. All right, they're saying they did. Quit watching TV land, all right? 40 days. 40 days will begin in a couple of weeks. We're going to give you the opportunity as a group, and I'm going to lead this. We're going to all read through the New Testament in 40 days. If you have never read through the New Testament, you need to do this. You need to make a commitment to do this. We're going to have opportunities. We're going to hand out prayer cards in a couple of weeks that talk about building for life. And that's what we're committed to, building for life. Not only a physical plant, that is important, but spiritually, building for life. Going on with God and our walk with Him. We're going to spend time talking about some of those things that help us build for life. We're going to have an evangelistic outreach, the Harvest Party. We're going to have a ministry fair that same Sunday. That is going to be a busy Sunday. That is Sunday the 31st. By the way, on that particular Sunday, you're going to need to bring your own chair to church because all of these will be put away. We're going to have game booths set up. And on that Sunday, you need to bring your own chair to church. I'm serious. You need to bring your own chair. I don't want recliners or strato loungers. You're going to need to bring your own chair because that particular day we're going to have a ministry fair and we're going to use the auditorium with the game booths and we're going to give you an opportunity to get involved in ministry in our church. That is coming up. We have a banquet in November at Canyon Lake Community Center. And we're looking forward to that time together where we're going to gather together and look at some of the plans that we feel God is leading us to do and accomplish in this area for Him. So we'll have that banquet, and then we'll have a Giving Sunday, and it's just going to be a neat opportunity. 40 days. Probably sometime next year, we will probably do 40 days of purpose. We decided not to do that at this point, but to do just 40 days. And then currently what's going on is there's another opportunity, 40 days of community is currently being done in some churches, a few churches. It's interesting, the number 40. How many days was Jesus tempted? How long were they in the ark? Are there others? There's three or four examples, maybe five, in the example, in the scripture, of 40 days. So we are going to plug into that concept and say, for 40 days, God, we want to take it to a new level with You. Not to just stay where we've been at, but to go above and beyond. just like these people did. It's exciting. We're looking forward to it. Next week at our vision meeting, we need to talk about this because we are going to recommend that we bring on somebody to help us lead in worship, to work with Val and the team. But you guys got to be a part of it. I mean, we want to take this to a new level from where it's been. It's been great. Nothing wrong with it, but we want to go to a new level. We want to do some things with small groups. And that's all tied together. There are going to be some exciting things. Get excited about God. But in order to do that, you got to stop playing church. You got to stop doing the ritual and get serious about Him. That's the message that He gave to them in the book of Haggai. Yet we can do some neat things with that. All right. Then he transitions. Verse 15. He says this, "Now give careful thought to this from this day on. Consider how things were before one stone was laid on another in the Lord's temple." When this place was just a wreck, think about how it was for you. Verse 16, "When anyone came to a heap of 20 measures, there were only 10. In other words, you expected 20, there was only 10. When one went to a wine vat to draw measures, there were only, they expected 50, there were only 20. And then look at verse 17 and think about your walk with God. "I struck all the work of your hands with blight, mildew, and hail, yet you did not turn to me, declares the Lord." Wow. God said, "I knew you were in sin. I knew you were far away from me, and so I went after you as a loving father does. I had to get your attention. And I did that." Interesting thought here on your outline. There are consequences to unconfessed sin. Unconfessed sin costs you. Look at verse 17 if you don't believe that. God says, "I knew you were doing the rituals, but your hearts were so far from me. So I went after you because I'm a loving father to get your attention, to bring you back to me, to have you walk close with me." Unconfessed sin cost you. "I struck all the work of your hands with blight, mildew, and hail, yet you did not turn to me, declares the Lord." The people got this message. Verse 17. But now, look at verse 18. "From this day on," the people evidently confessed, got right with God. "From this 24th day of the ninth month, give careful thought to the day when the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid." Give careful thought. He says, all right, from this day on, though, I want you to expect something better. "Is there any seed left in the barn?" No, there's not, because they planted it in the ground. "Until now, the vine and the fig tree, the pomegranate and the olive tree have not borne fruit. But from this day on, I will bless you." He said, "I will bless you because you turned to me. Because you sought me out." On your final thought, on your outline, confession cleanses you. Confession cleanses you. See, as we come this morning, we're looking at a group of people that were doing all the right, quote unquote, religious things. And God said, not good enough, because you're not close to me, your hearts are not. And so I went after you. I humbled you. And what happened, I'm guessing, because God did change, is that they sought Him, they confessed their sins. What verse can we use? How about 1 John 1:9? Would like you to read this verse with me. "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." It's all up to you. It's all up to me. If we confess our sins. So what I'd like to do is take a few moments and do that this morning. We haven't done this in a while. Occasionally we do this. Mike, can you go back and turn the lights off of the thing? Only the stage lights on, Cindy. Let's put in some music that can play quietly. Mike, can you shut the kitchen lights off? Cindy, let's only have these on over here, please. And shut the blinds over there. You see, this is a personal thing. It's a personal thing between you and the Lord. If you've come this morning and you're doing the ritual thing, God knows. He knows your heart. If you'd like to take a few minutes, just get right with Him. I'm going to give two options for doing this. One is at your seat. You may kneel if you are able to. For those of you, this is not a show. This is not glorifying anything. But we have the front of the auditorium open. For those of you that would like to come down and kneel with me, because I am a fellow sinner. I am. And I will be up here. Cindy, let's go ahead and put some quiet music on, if you would. I'm going to give you a chance to take some serious time with God, to tell God, I want to stop playing church. I want to get serious about 40 days with you. I want to be praying about that, and I want to trust you. I'll be here at the front. For those of you that are able to kneel, please do that. Let's just take a few minutes of confession to the Lord.